You're tuned to Radio Caroline on 199, your all-day music station.
Happy Easter to all of you. This is Christopher Moore with the First Record program on Radio Caroline. The first record is by the Rolling Stones, and I'd like to play it for all of the people who worked to put the station on the air.
Going back in time on the sounds of the nation, it's the Caroline Flashback.
The time on Radio Caroline, Britain's first commercial radio station, 14 minutes to 6. Tony Blackburn here with All Systems Go.
Caroline, the sound of the nation. Caroline, the sound of the land. Caroline, the sound of the nation. Caroline.
Land burning, Caroline.
This has been Caroline Newsbeat.
One man who's probably singing along to every single jingle I just played there is Ray Clark, Radio Caroline and now BBC presenter. Good evening, Ray.
Hi, George. I'm not that sad, am I?
Hey, listen, good memories.
they do sound good, even this many years later, all this time later, don't they?
It's just fantastic. And you wrote the book Radio Caroline, The Boat That Rocked, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, and also your time at Caroline. But what actually got you into radio in the first place, Ray?
There's a question. I was asking myself that very same question a little earlier, just before you called. I think it was probably when I was 4 or 5. There were a couple of records that I distinctly remember hearing on the radio, Beyond the Sea and Volare. I think they're about 1959. So, yeah, I'd have been about 4. And they say that music programmers say that most of us start taking music on board, pop music, from the age of 10. So I was obviously very advanced for my years. But then again, 14, they say. 14 is a good age. So if you work out what was in the charts when you were 14, and then you'll realise that you were mad about the Bay City Rollers or whatever.
So definitely.
So it does work quite well. But I think those two songs... I also think my granddad gave me a pair of the most uncomfortable... Well, I think they were World War II Army surplus Bakelite headphones.
Yeah.
He probably wanted them out of his shed because they were clutter. And I took these home and we wired them to the back of, well, it wasn't a radio, it was a wireless in those days.
And
I can remember volunteering to go to bed early so I could listen to the Archers through these uncomfortable headphones.
You know how to live, Ray Clark.
And I have been up ever since then, is it down ever since then? But I think it was the pirates that if the fuse hadn't been lit, definitely sort of helped the blaze.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've talked about being snuggled up under the blankets and listening because, of course, we didn't have duvets back in those days, did we? Just fantastic stuff. How did you end up on Caroline? How did you go offshore?
I'd been a fan all the way through the 60s. I wasn't old enough to go out there in the 60s. And in the 70s, Caroline came back again. And I was fascinated by the idea of people sitting on a rusty ship miles off the coast just to play me the latest, well, in the case of the 70s, the latest album music. Mm. And I got close to going out. I went out on a clandestine boat trip just to sort of sail around the boat. If you were lucky, you were invited on board. On one occasion, we were invited on board, but the skipper said, no, you're not going on there. So we spent 3 hours going out to look at a boat and then 3 hours coming back again. And then by chance, and it was purely by chance, this is a long, complicated story here, Georgie, there was an offshore radio convention. That sounds very, very pompous, but it was a lot of like-minded people that listened to the pirate stations and remembered them fondly, and they had this event in London. And through that, I got to know a couple of, they're still my friends now, a couple of nice Dutch guys and one Dutch guy's sister, and it turns out that the sister was very friendly with the engineer on Caroline.
So now
you can see where I'm going here. So I met up with the engineer and said, oh, but it's good on Caroline, wouldn't mind coming out. And he said, well, yeah, okay, if you want to come out, come out. And I said, well, I can't afford it just yet because money was pretty scarce. I'll wait until the spring. And then before I could go out, the ship sank. So that sort of finished that part of the story.
No!
But eventually, I got out there in the 80s. The third ship came back and came out. And they, again, these boat trips were going out. And you know, if you're interested in something, you get to know other people that are interested in it. And ultimately, they said, would you like to come out here? And, you know, rather than turning up every third Sunday and making a nuisance of yourself, come out here and work.
You see, was that music to your ears, Ray?
I mean, I wanted to go. That was heaven. That's what I really wanted to do. I mean, some people want to drive trains or be a postman or, you know, a ballerina. I just wanted to sit on an unseaworthy ship 18 miles off the coast reading the news with a brown paper bag in my hand. That's all I wanted to do.
Did you suffer from seasickness then? Oh, no!
I suffered for my art.
Oh, wow. How long were you there for?
I didn't do long compared to some. I mean, some of my friends, very good friends that worked out there prior to me going out and have worked out there since, in some cases did 2 or 3 years. I did a couple of months. And I was due to go back again later in the year, but the mast fell down and it was a whole series of disasters. But
yeah.
I did it. I served my time there.
And you wrote a book?
Yeah, well again, this was strange because just before Christmas, not last year, the year before, it dawned on me that we were heading for the 50th anniversary of Caroline, and I was walking in a shopping centre. And to be honest, you know, most blokes will, I know you ladies can look in every single shop.
Oh, yes.
But for the blokes, you go into Dixon's, then you go into the Apple shop, and after that it's Waterstones, yeah. And that's it. And I was walking around Waterstones, and I thought, you know, there's no books about radio here, and then there's no books about Caroline. And I'd been in that position where I knew a lot of people, I'd interviewed a lot of people for radio programs after coming off the ship, and I thought, I can use that. So I just wrote to a few publishers and said, are you interested in this? And lo and behold, they said yes.
Yeah. And the rest is history.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I think I'll have to go a long time before I make my first million, Georgie. And it ain't going to be out of this book. But it's just a labour of love. It's a book about something that I know a bit about. If I were to be invited onto Mastermind and sitting in that black chair,
yeah.
You know, the only topic I know anything about is pirate radio. That is sad, isn't it?
No, it's not sad. It's sad in a happy way. Listen, I've got a little memory for you now. A few little memories of Caroline.
Okay.
Hang on, Ray.
Serving the British Isles, 14 swinging hours a day, this is 199 Radio Caroline.
319
Does it sort of fill you with dread and seasickness when you hear that?
No, far from it. You realise that you know, they were magical times. And, of course, Caroline still exists online. It's different to the station that was at sea. But, you know, there is a connection back to 50 years ago and the Caroline on 199. So, you know, what of the future? Who knows?